Hello, everyone, and welcome to Apes Versus. I'm your host, Emily Ford, and today we will be discussing the issue of microplastics in the Earth's oceans. Plastic. We use it every day for work, school, and other activities. This plastic eventually gets thrown away, but often by being littered around beaches or other populated areas. As this plastic gets washed away, it breaks down into smaller and smaller pieces, until it eventually becomes so small that it is considered a microplastic. Microplastics can be even more damaging to the environment, as they are easily ingested by animals and are much less easily collected. So the question is, what can we do about these microplastics? Is there a way to get rid of them, or at least reduce their negative effects on the environment? But wait, before we can talk about what we can do to help microplastic pollution, we need to go back and talk about why microplastics are even bad and what their effects are on the environment. In fact, microplastics have many different effects on the environment other than ruining beach aesthetics or being consumed by marine life. First off, as researchers Shim and Thompson noted, the tiny size of microplastics allows them to be consumed by organisms as small as plankton, which leads to bioaccumulation of microplastics in higher consumers. In other words, since predators eat large amounts of plankton, they will accumulate more microplastics into their bodies. Shim and Thompson also indicated that this bioaccumulation of plastic could become a problem for humans, who are already expressing concerns that microplastics may be contaminating their seafood products. And the nuisance of microplastics extends even beyond their physical existence. In fact, it has been proven that microplastics have a strong correlation with the release or transport of harmful pollutants. For example, when examining plastic resin pellets specifically on the Japanese coast, researcher Mato and their team found that polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, DDE, and nonylphenols existed in measurable concentrations in the plastics. While PCBs and DDE were determined to have absorbed onto the plastics from the water, the nonylphenols most likely came from plastic additives. As we have already mentioned, these chemicals pose a threat to both marine life and human health. In fact, chemicals like PCBs have been identified by the EPA as major environmental threats. It may sound like there is no hope for the issue of microplastics. As they become more and more widespread, it has become much harder to imagine that we can do anything to fix the problem. However, there are things that scientists are doing, and that you can do as an individual, that will help to slowly lessen the impact of these plastics. The first thing that we should explore is the profusion of research that is being done on the collection of existing microplastics. From using chemicals to using living organisms, microplastic removal methods span various scientific fields and represent the wide variety of work that is being done to find the most effective solution to the microplastic problem. Researchers Arosa and others, for example, are looking at the role of Red Sea giant clams in the removal of microplastics from marine waters. These researchers noted that areas around the Red Sea had some of the lowest microplastic levels and tested Red Sea giant clams to see if these organisms had any contribution to the low microplastic concentrations. They found that, in fact, these clams are able to remove microplastics from freely circulating in water through active removal or ingestion and passive removal, or the attaching of plastic particles to giant clam shells. Interestingly, Red Sea giant clams catch microplastics much more effectively through passive removal. In fact, the giant clams tested in the lab caught 35 times more microplastic on their shells than they removed through ingestion. This study shows that marine organisms act as important sinks for floating microplastics. Although it is ideal for the plastics to be collected, this research indicates that animals have the ability to attract and hold microplastics. This could possibly lead to more research about how humans could create models of animals that would collect these harmful plastics in similar ways, but without harming actual living organisms. But giant clams are certainly not the only animals being studied for their impact on microplastic pollution. Even some of the smallest organisms, bacteria, have been found to have incredible potential in expanding existing microplastic collection technologies. How? Clearly, bacteria cannot collect the microplastics individually since they're so small. But when bacteria collect to form a biofilm, they produce sticky, exopolymeric substances that are able to aggregate large varieties of microplastics together in collected water samples. Researchers Louis and others discovered this after they engineered a specific bacteria called P. aeruginosa that could form this type of biofilm. What is most advantageous about this new technology is that it is not specific to any type of plastic. This makes it a very versatile technology, which is necessary in the environment where microplastic pollution consists of many different sizes and varieties of microplastics. Another major advantage of this bacterial biofilm technology is that it uses what researchers call a capture-release mechanism. Using a form of signaling, the biofilm not only aggregates microplastics, but also releases them so that they can be collected and disposed of properly. This means that the plastics can actually be removed from polluted waters, which is one of the main goals of scientists working to reduce the impact of these pollutants. Now, you are probably still wondering what all of this has to do with you. The average person does not have special bacteria sitting around their house to go and trap microplastics. But this doesn't mean that the average person does not have an impact on microplastics and cannot help us reduce them. While scientists are searching for ways to clean up the mess we've already made in our oceans, the rest of us can try to reduce our plastic use. As explained by researchers Henderson and Green, a major barrier to public action on simple life changes to reduce plastic pollution is actually the media. Many people get their news about plastic pollution from media sources. While this may be good because it spreads some awareness, it also spreads myths. Furthermore, many important topics are not covered in the media. In Henderson and Green's study in the United Kingdom, for example, it was discovered that almost none of the participants in six different focus groups knew what microplastics were. This highlights the necessity of better communication from the media about the plastic situation. Additionally, it suggests that more education on plastic pollution is necessary to initiate widespread action in the general public. The importance of more widespread education on marine plastic pollution is supported by Xanthos and Walker in their review of current international legislation for the reduction of single-use plastics. This brings us the last major method of reducing plastic pollution and microplastics, legislation. As researchers Xanthos and Walker discussed, there is some international legislation centered around reducing the impacts of plastic bags and microbeads, which are microplastics in cosmetics, on the environment. These regulations have many shortcomings, including a lack of proper implementation strategies in many countries. In order to be effective, it is imperative that these legislations are strengthened. However, legislation alone will not solve the problem. To really reduce both macro and microplastics, we must collectively use all three strategies discussed today: proper media coverage, better education on plastic pollution, and more effective legislation. Along with the efforts of scientists to find innovative microplastic cleaning mechanisms, these efforts can help slowly reduce the microplastic problem, making Earth's oceans safer for both marine life and humans. Thank you for tuning in to Apes Versus. We hope you enjoyed this episode.